from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, October 31st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Happy Halloween, everybody, from the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the intersection of State and Fairchild. Mr. Zommers, happy Halloween.
Ha ha ha, happy Halloween, Todd. It's such a good holiday to be here.
This is fantastic. If you're not watching the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twix, whatever, Zommers got the memo. He is dressed in costume and character. You look fantastic.
Thank you. I know I always do. I'm Tommy Wiseau, director and star of the hit motion picture, The Room. I have it right here. It's my movie.
Now explain to people for radio who might not see you the character that you are dressed in as and the impersonation you do, which is very good, by the way.
So The Room is a terrible, terrible movie. It's basically, Tommy Wiseau, super rich guy from somewhere in Europe. Maybe we know by now, but for a long time we didn't. Who bought movie equipment, which you normally rent. So that was weird, first off. And it's just, it's bad in such a funny way. And he does talk like that throughout the whole thing. And I don't know. There's not a whole lot more to say besides that.
The football as well, is the connection to the football? Yeah.
They toss the football around to play catch throughout the movie because it is clear that Tommy wants nothing more than to be seen as an all-American hero.
I think it's very creative and well done. I give you an A+. Well done, Zommers.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Nice story, Todd.
if you were listening yesterday, I have a costume. Zommers has seen pictures. I shopped it around. I put it through the sensors. And surprisingly, now Mom, who I thought would say, and by the way, it's Zommers, it's not like inappropriate in terms of like socially or sexually or anything right. Like that. It's not that kind of inappropriate. And I thought Mom would see it. And she said, well, don't cause trouble. But no, I showed it. Her Mom's first reaction was, well, wear it, but don't say anything.
The thing that's wrong with it is that it references a topic that is a sore spot for a lot of people right now.
A sore spot, and a lot of people don't have a sense of humor about it. And so, like, the week I have had, I just said, I don't need it. I don't need it. And so I'm like, just let well enough alone. So we got some colored lights up. We got a little orange and purple lighting up in the studio here. And Zommers dressed up for Halloween. So I'm spooky enough. Without makeup or anything else, or a wig, or a University of Indiana T-shirt on.
nothing like that, you know.
I thought the earrings in particular of the costume I really enjoyed, and the wig only cost $9, and I thought it was fantastic.
The earrings were a good touch.
Thank you. Maybe at a later date, we'll reveal the costume.
Maybe,
but not today. Not today. Well, I hope all of you have a very happy Halloween. In all seriousness. If you're driving around this afternoon or tonight, please, 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 I beg of you, go slower than normal. Obviously, keep your lights on and watch out. And for goodness sake, don't be texting or looking at a phone or anything else. Because there's all sorts of kids. I know that Mayor Cavalier Johnson has brought back Halloween trick-or-treating on Halloween proper this afternoon and tonight for the first time in several years. And you know what? I say good on him. It's a fun time if you're doing it as a family or you go out and get candy or whatever. But we want to make sure that everyone gets home safely. So drive slowly this afternoon and tonight. Watch out for kids because these kids, you know what it's like. You're just trying to get to as many houses as you can to get as much candy, and they're going to be darting out from the middle of the block in between parked cars. They're not going to follow the crosswalks as much as we'd like them to. So do your part if you're a driver, and drive carefully today, all right, and tonight. But have fun with it. Have fun with it. I know Mom, as I said, is all set back at Richland Center. At last count, I believe she was down to 168 pieces of candy because she had like 171 or something, and we had a couple.
A couple.
So yeah. I think and she has Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Snickers, and then an assortment of other things. So the Ewing boys and girls better get over there early. So enjoy the trick-or-treating tonight, everyone. Do so safely, but have a good time with it. It's a fun and silly holiday. And look, we all need a break right now and to have some relief. Speaking of some relief here, I want to take just a minute to make a correction from yesterday's show. We had on this program the fine author, Chuck Collins, of his new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Constrained or Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. He is also part of the Patriotic Millionaires. And in this new book, he has a section, and there is an article in The Nation right now, entitled The Billionaire Oligarchs Are Coming for Your Pets. And it's very enlightening. And interesting, because a lot of these conglomerates have bought up companies that supply our pet food, that run our veterinary clinics, and things like that. And I encourage everybody to go read this by Chuck Collins. But here's something I want to call out. And many thanks to, I want to make sure I get the listener right, Nancy in Middleton, listening on MDX. And this is one of the reasons I love this program, because our listeners keep me honest. And, you know, if I'm going to come on the air every day and say pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it, we got to make sure if we get something inaccurate that we correct it. And so that's what I want to do. But first, Nancy texted in yesterday. She said, Todd, sharing a personal story there. Now, I don't have the, if you can find it, Zomers from yesterday, because I want to make sure that we read that. She pointed out, I mentioned in this piece by Chuck Collins, he pointed out several of these companies, one of them being Mars, the Mars Corporation. It's like M&M's, Mars candy bars, and things like that. They're buying up several pet food companies and raising the prices exorbitantly. And I, this is completely 100% on me, equated the Mars company with the Mars candy bar. And so Elizabeth, thank you, Zomers, Elizabeth in Columbia County, a new texter, we appreciate that, Elizabeth, on WMDX said, Todd, Mounds Pet Food Warehouse is a poor example from an outside investor group. Last I knew, it's a small Madison area chain that is quite charitable to local causes. Well, Elizabeth, you are 100% correct, and I was 100% incorrect. Because they give away the free Mound candy bar, I, Todd, equated in my head, oh, they must be owned by Mars. And so I brought that up kind of as an indirect example. Well, guess what? I was 100% wrong, because Mound's Pet Food Warehouse in Madison was owned privately. And about 5 years ago, the owner of said company, Mound a Pet Food Warehouse, thought, well, I don't want a conglomerate to own this. So he made it 100% employee owned. So Mound's Pet Food Warehouse here in Dane County, at least, is 100% employee owned. They're fine people. And my apologies for inferring incorrectly that it was anything but that. So thank you, Elizabeth, for keeping us honest. And, you go shop and buy your treats or whatever at Mound's Pet Food Warehouse and feel good about it. And you could also read the book by Chuck Collins on Burned by Billionaires, where he does go through some of these corporations that own pet food. So there you go, Zomers. It's always good to have a little keep me honest, right?
Yep. Thanks for keeping us all honest.
Yep, we appreciate. Not you. It was all on me. I want to be sure that's understood. This is all on me. 15 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Want to get this breaking news out there. This, according to NBC, a Rhode Island federal judge this afternoon ordered the U.S. Department of Agriculture to distribute money owed by recipients of the Supplement Nutrition Assistance Program, quote unquote, as soon as possible, just one day before the funding to SNAP is set to lapse. U.S. District Judge John McConnell's ruling from the bench came shortly after another federal judge in a separate case said that the Trump administration's plan not to pay out SNAP benefits beginning tomorrow due to ongoing federal government shutdown was, quote, unlawful, unquote, but stopped short of ordering the Trump administration to disperse funds. Ruling in favor of the group of cities and community organizations that sued that sued over the cuts, McConnell said that the USDA must fund SNAP using money in a contingency fund. And again, this is breaking news here. We'll see if this reaches beyond that portion, you know, in Rhode Island. But as we started out yesterday, I think there's a lot of people out there. I base this on my own experience growing up as a kid when my mom was a single mother and wanted some help and said because she had a small fund that was basically a gift from my grandparents of a couple of $1,000 in a savings account for our college. She either had to get rid of that or she couldn't get any help. It was either one or the other. And she chose to keep our college funds and eat, you know, we used to call it cardboard pizza. Tombstone, nothing wrong with Tombstone pizza, by the way, but just a frozen pizza and heat our kitchen. And she ate the leftovers, the little bit that there was, and went to bed hungry and wore hand-me-down clothes from her aunt. And that's how we got through. And there are a lot of people, I think, in this state right now who are facing similar circumstances starting tomorrow. And we've seen this with the increased use of food pantries across the state, that they honestly don't give a crap who's to blame. They're like, I got one question. Am I getting the benefits or not? No? Okay. Then I got to figure this out. And there's a lot of blame to go around. I get that. But I hope that, I mean, none of us individually are going to force the government to reopen. None of us individually are going to force anybody in the state legislature here in Wisconsin to use the $4 billion plus surplus to fund state SNAP benefits. Do I think they should? Heck yeah. But none of us individually are going to do that. What can we do as individuals today? We can take 5 cans of soup, or if you can afford it, more, down to our local food pantry. We can write a check for $10 or $100 or $500, whatever you can afford, to your local food pantry. And as our friend Kira Sabin, the life coach and positivity psychologist, reminds us, our brains are not built for negativity and the world is ending every day. We need to have some hope. We need to be reminded that we're all in this together. And so I hope all of us across this state, whatever you can do today, tomorrow, this weekend, to help our friends and neighbors through this difficult time, and yes, hold our local elected, or hold our state and federal officials responsible. But it's more empowering, in my opinion, and actually more helpful if we help our friends and neighbors in need. And oh, maybe less judgment on our friends and neighbors as well. Because as we've learned through our program, through Matt and Aaron Aaron, through Jane and Greg's conversation with farmers, agriculture people, there are folks working on farms that are they're using SNAP benefits and the ACA, Obamacare. And there are urban people. We're all in this together. We're all Wisconsinites. Come on back, take a couple of phone calls, talk Halloween, and then a special guest at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's a Friday edition, TGIF. Happy Halloween of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Halloween, 22 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Who was it? Mike in Spring Green?
Yes, Mike in Spring Green called in during the break to thank Todd for correctly pronouncing Halloween. It is a pet peeve of his when people say Halloween.
Halloween.
It is an A, not an O at the beginning.
I can't pronounce nuclear, but I can pronounce Halloween. So, and you know what? I'll take Halloween.
You got to take the wins you get.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Listen to us on WRCE 107.7 out of Richland Center. You can get it loud and clear now. in beautiful spring green. Talking about the SNAP benefits that are set to end, used to be known as food stamps, now they're called SNAP benefits. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday, I think. Kind of the cruelty, right? My former party, the Republican Party, that I left in 2011. And, you know, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I've told you before, the main reason I left is because I witnessed voter suppression issues behind closed doors. But the other thing, one of the other things that was a close second, and I only mentioned it because the guy is still in office. When this issue came up back in like 2011 or so, it was like, well, should the state legislature make a list of what things people on SNAP benefits can and cannot buy? And hand to God, I testify under oath, Glenn Grothman, then state senator, now congressman in Wisconsin, and Mary Lozick. Glenn Grothman and Mary Lozick were absolutely infatuated over Skittles. And Glenn Grothman sat there in a closed Senate Republican caucus and debated, well, I'm not really sure whether parents on SNAP should be buying Skittles for their kids. And I think it was my boss that was like, Glenn, we really don't have more important things to do than debate this. Look, we give them the benefit. The parent got to trust the parents. And these people wanted to, you know, Skittles. I mean, it was just unbelievable. 855-752-4842. And the overarching point that I have is do something locally. Give to your local food pantry a couple of bucks, $100, wherever you can afford, or give them some food. Let's help our friends and neighbors. Rick in Waukesha, listening on WAUK. Rick, thanks for listening. Go ahead.
Todd, you're so brilliant. I got an idea from Maggie Dawn's show yesterday with all of her statistic information she put on the table with children that are on SNAP and not in areas and numbers. And I got an idea. You know, I'm an old John Kennedy. Why not?
Sure.
What if we put this on the table? You got the idea of how government works with proposals. This idea of taking all the federal employee statistics on wages, put them on the table with them, start comparing, and maybe ranks, maybe elected or not elected, and then start borrowing some of their paychecks percentage-wise in areas to temporarily loan SNAP money until they can take it out of the defense fund or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's an idea. I appreciate the call, Rick. Thank you very much, Rick and Waukesha, listening on WAUK. I mean, hey, no creative, well-intended ideas or bad ones. Always good to put them on the table. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Matt, listening in Middleton here on WMDX. Matt, you wanted to comment on our guest yesterday, Chuck Collins, who has the new book out called Burned by Billionaires. What say you, Matt?
Hey, guys, thanks again for what you do. Just wanted to comment on that tax policy is a unifying source of anger in America. I think all across the board, we don't feel like we get much out of our tax dollars as compared to a country like Germany, where you pay 44%, rich or poor, and you feel it. You get job support training, you get good health care, you get good infrastructure, all these benefits. But I wanted to also talk about this equity firm nonsense that's ruining the American economy and has been for a while now. They've got their hands all into our housing. But I had a friend that worked at Ace Hardware, and one of these big firms came and bought his Ace Hardware. And they had a representative say, you know, well, you're going to get a more consistent schedule. You'll get 401k, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, as soon as they start, they raise the prices. He gets less hours and the same terrible pay per hour. So say goodbye to Ace Hardware as well.
Appreciate the call, Matt. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that specifically, so I just want to be careful in terms of me saying something. But I think the point is well taken, Matt. And I think that Chuck Collins' book, who you know, comes from the Oscar Mayer family and gave up his own wealth. Check out the book, Burned by Billionaires. I think that any books that make us think about where we're spending our money and who's actually controlling things, always good to pause and reflect, as my former teacher, Andy Spies, was fond of saying. One of our listeners on YouTube says, I like to grow organic in my garden. The food bank in my town, Merrill, oh, beautiful town of Merrill, that's in the listening area of WXCO out of Wausau, says, we'll take garden food. I donated 109 pounds of zucchini to my food bank. I do this every year. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about, Cornell. Thank you very much for listening up there in beautiful Merrill, Wisconsin. Cornell's donating zucchini. And I think we can all do something, and that's really, really important. Quick other breaking news here before we get to the farm report. Governor Tony Evers today signed a bipartisan, how about that, bipartisan bill aimed at creating a statewide ban on cell phone use in the classroom. We'll have more on that a little bit later in the show. So, hey, you know what? When this state can come together politically to get anything done, I think that's worth celebrating. So moving forward, cell phones will be banned in classrooms. I think that'll be music to the ears of a lot of educators across the state. When we come back, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have Juan Garcia here, who is the Wisconsin Project Manager for Somos Votantes, or Somos Creativos, and talk a little Dia de los Muertos. That is Day of the Dead celebration in Milwaukee coming up tomorrow. Come on back. Farm News is next right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Recuérdame. Hoy me tengo que ir, mi amor. Recuérdame.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. I can listen to that all afternoon. Thank you, Zomers. Dialing up a little of the playlist from the motion picture Coco from Disney. A great animated film about one of the subjects we're going to talk about next. Dia de los Muertos, or for those of us who are gringos, Day of the Dead, is a great Latino celebration, and here to talk not just about that, but also his organization. Joining us via StreamYard from Milwaukee, Juan Garcia, who is the Wisconsin Project Manager for Somos Votantes. And I appreciate you being here, Juan. Forgive the bad Espanol. As I tell people, it's gringo Espanol, but I try because I think it's a beautiful language.
No, it is truly appreciated, Todd. Thank you for having me. And you know, I'm excited to be here to talk about our event that's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, you're here to talk about this event called Somos Creativos in Milwaukee. But first of all, as we do with all guests who are new to the program, Juan, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and what led you to work for Somos.
Yes, so I grew up in Aurora, Illinois, the second largest city of Illinois. I moved out to Wisconsin 5 years ago and have been doing programming, trying to get Latinos engaged at different capacities, different organizations for the past 5 years. As of recently this year, I joined Somos Votantes, who is the leading Latino organization trying to get Latinos engaged, civically engaged, and have been doing programs throughout this year, attempting to slowly create a community of involved folks here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, but I do statewide work.
I don't know that there's more important work to be done right now, Juan, and regular listeners to this show will know that I've been to El Salvador over 39 times over 25 years or so. Mi comadre, for those that don't know, it's a Spanish word for godmother or godparent, mi compadres. My comadre is from El Salvador originally. I have two godsons. And so the culture, the Latino culture and traditions, A, are near and dear to my heart, as and perhaps more importantly, in these strange and unfortunately dangerous times, I think the clarity, the unity, and the accurate information is being disseminated, particularly with the Latino community, but also for those of us that aren't directly there, that we have this dialogue and understand one another.
Yeah, no, and now more than ever, like you said, You know, there's a reason people come here, and unfortunately, one of those reasons is the distrust in government within their own countries. And unfortunately, from the research that Somos has been doing, and what we know through different polling is that, you know, this government currently is failing a lot of our folks, Latino folks, economically, and they're feeling it a lot in their pockets. And you know, just the tariffs, about 71% of Latinos are feeling the tariffs with the prices going up. And so now more than ever, we have to make sure that we're there for our community. We educate and we try to tell them how to get involved so that they don't feel completely disillusioned with the U.S. government. And unfortunately, that's the hard reality right now. But, you know, it's the American principles that we believe in should reign higher and stronger more than ever to keep it alive.
As someone whose great-grandparents immigrated, or at least a couple of them did from Germany, another one from the old Czech Republic or Bohemia, and there's a lot of people that settled in this state years ago, turns out didn't speak English as their first language, and somehow they managed and got along. And I think that's a good reminder for those of us who might have white heritage that the current iteration of Latinos that might look a little, you know, better pigmented, quite frankly, than a pasty white guy like me, just because those folks may speak Spanish as their first language, they're very vital contributors to all of our communities. And in many cases, turns out, are U.S. citizens that are legally able to vote.
That is correct, yes. And a growing number, right? We are, of course, economically, we are the engine when it comes to small businesses and just being able to build that out. And so, yeah, we are a large voting block that have yet to find a way to make the impact that we want to, but slowly but surely we'll make sure that we, you know, we advocate for our community the best way that we can through our voting power.
What can we do, Juan? We're talking with Juan Garcia, who is the Wisconsin Project Manager for Somos Votantes here in the state of Wisconsin. What can we do, those of us who might not be directly Latino, what can we do to be supportive and encouraging to those friends and neighbors around us?
Yeah, the simple fact of just coming on this radio show and hearing you speak Spanish and want to embrace, you know, folks like us, folks like me, want to show your solidarity in that way, it's huge. Wanting to learn about our cultures, that we have a range of cultures, because obviously Latin America is such a huge place, but wanting to know in a true, genuine way what we're all about, what we can offer, both culturally and economically, I think it's the best way to show your support and for us to feel it directly. Showing up in different places, a lot of events were affected this past September during Hispanic Heritage Month because of the fear. Just being able to show up to those events to ensure that, you know, there are people standing up with us. It comes with huge support. What you do here in this show, it's just truly amazing. Being able to talk about the facts and what's really going on out in the community just helps other people understand that we are being targeted and we are being, we are suffering. Mm-hmm. But just this particular way is very soothing for us to understand that we have allies throughout different communities.
And what better way to show you that we have allies to have fun together? And we played that music from the Disney film a few years ago, Coco, which is about this great day, because, you know, today is Halloween. Most Americans know about Halloween, but tomorrow is designated an English Day of the Dead, or Dia de los Muertos. And tomorrow in Milwaukee, Somos is presenting Somos Creativos, a vintage market celebrating Latino arts and small business. Tell us about that.
Yes, yeah, so Somos Creativos, the literate translation says we are creative. And so we've partnered up with Dream Lab. Sean, the owner, is an amazing gentleman there that just, it's all about art and making sure that we bring community together. So we partner up with Dream Lab in order to bring Latino artists, Latino small business owners that create their own art through clothes, through jewelry, through paintings, through furniture. I don't know how that works, but it happens. To come together this November 1st, Dia de los Muertos, so they can showcase their art to the community. Somos is providing a pathway for them to showcase their art, to sell their art, to grow as business owners. We'll be buying a certain amount of items from each vendor and giving it away to the community, so they can appreciate the art and hopefully we have a good bunch of people come out and support by buying this this amazing art that's going to be displayed by these great artists, Latino artists, and that's the beauty of it. All vendors there are going to be Latino owned, and I'm just really excited that they have the opportunity to showcase this to the community.
Juan Garcia, Wisconsin project manager for Somos Votantes, is our guest right now. I think this is great, Juan, because those of us who grew up in small towns in Wisconsin, you know, we may have heard All Saints Day. If you're a Protestant or even a Catholic, and you go and you hear the minister or the priest, All Saints Day, the day after hell. And we'd say, for all the saints. It was very, very formal, whatever. But this is so much more fun because it's explain this Dia de los Muertos. It's celebrating those who have passed before us, right?
Yes. So the ultimate plot of Coco, and which it kind of reminds me of what the Day of the Dead is to never forget our ancestors, to never forget the people that have passed, and to, you know, just remember them through an ofrenda, which ultimately is a small altar where we put a picture in and we put their favorite things that they did when they were living. You know, if someone liked to sew, we would put a piece of cloth or you know, the sewing materials, to commemorate and just remember who they truly were, and just never forget about their existence. And while the name of it sounds a little bit scary, it's a day to come together to as a family, bring food, you know, and just remember the good old times that the people, our ancestors and those who came before us, and what they liked, and the good old days, like we know them.
Is it fair to say, because in this country, Memorial Day is a day that maybe traditionally that we would celebrate, you know, those who have passed in our families. It was originally called Decoration Day for people who passed away in the military in World War One or Two. My history is escaping me right now. And that kind of got moved from just a day of remembering those who passed away in military service to everybody. And is this kind of the Latino equivalent of that, Juan? Is that a fair statement, do you think?
I would say yes. It's exactly that, except we actually go to
the
cemetery. Yeah, more a little bit lively. You know, we celebrate with music, we celebrate with food, we go to the cemetery, we bring flowers, and everyone is just kind of like either coming together at home or coming together at cemeteries and just creating another party. You know, something that Latinos love is parties and just coming alive, coming together, eating a lot, and just celebrating, and we just found another reason to celebrate in life.
I think it's great. My first Christmas in El Salvador, you know, I didn't realize it was also the 4th of July for a gringo, but, you know, there's a celebration, there's fireworks, there's happiness, there's joy. And I don't say this about many things in my life, but the first time I went there and my friend came from a very poor family, and it changed my life from the regard that it showed me that what Christmas is about is family and friends and simple but good food and just gratefulness. And it's not about all the material possessions. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the Latino culture in many ways. It's this celebration of life and spirit and one another.
Yes, exactly. And I think you learned pretty early on from your comadre that if they have two plates of rice and there are three people there, we'll make sure that everyone is fed, and we'll make sure that every last person gets, you know, a piece of the food, and we'll literally, you know, take the coat off our shoulders and give it to you just to make sure that we're all welcome and we're all part of the celebration. So, I totally agree with you, and you know, we're ready to celebrate tomorrow.
Let's remind people, it is tomorrow from 10 o'clock until 2 in the afternoon, going to be at 738 South 3rd Street in Milwaukee. We'll put this in our show notes, and we can put that up on the screen as well. What's the actual, is there the venue called that it's being held at?
Yes, it's called Dream Lab.
Dream Lab,
it's in Walker's Point, in the neighborhood of Walker's Point in Milwaukee.
All right, that's great. Walker's Point. And so you're going to have a Latino featured artist, small business owners, creative entrepreneurs, and everybody's welcome, right? You don't have to speak Spanish to come. Everybody can come.
No, yes. This is open to the public. We hope that people can come on and learn or just meet new people, you know, whatever it may be that you're in town for. We want to make sure that you have a place to come and celebrate a little bit.
Well, I think it's fantastic, and we'd love to have you back on to talk about Somos a little more. You're doing great work. I think this is how we build bridges in our communities, and I really appreciate you. Juan Garcia, Wisconsin Project Manager at Somos Votantes. Thank you very much, Juan. We appreciate you, and have a wonderful celebration tomorrow.
Thank you, Todd. Hope to be back soon.
Absolutely. Juan Garcia, everybody. Come on back. A little bit more news for you on a Friday afternoon on the Civic Media Ready Network.
It's red, ay mi amor, ay mi amor. Where should I put my shoes? Ay mi amor, you say put them on your head.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock, at the top of the hour, ABC, CBS News, and hour number two, which will include Peter Rapine, our old friend, managing editor at E-Bombs World, with news of the wild and wacky, the humorous week. I need this summer's in particular this week to end it on a humorous light note. So looking forward to Rapine at the bottom of the hour. More music there on the way in from the motion picture Coco, the animated picture from Disney about Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. It's a great film.
This time the English version of Un Poco Loco, a little bit crazy.
Very good, Un Poco Loco. Many people would say about me, Todd's Un Poco Loco.
Thank all of us, though.
Many thanks to Juan Garcia. How about Juan Garcia? He was fantastic.
Absolutely.
And the great organization, Somos Votantes. And we appreciate him being on. And we've already got another event coming up in November, November 22nd. So we'll have him back on in here in a few weeks to talk about that.
Yeah, it's going to be just a quick thing out sharing food for Thanksgiving for Latino families.
I think it's
more traditional Latino food.
Tamales.
Because
tamales.
Turkey, not necessarily the move in that culture.
If you got pavo, which is the word for turkey. If you got pavo tamales or tamales de pavo.
Now that sounds tasty.
Que rico, papi. See, I'm not fluent. I wish I was. Maybe that's the play, Zomers. I've been debating. Maybe I've just stumbled upon this in real time on the air. Maybe I should just move to El Salvador with my Starlink and I could do the show every day. Wouldn't matter. And I would be on a beach.
You'd get a lot better at Spanish.
And I'd get a lot better on Spanish. We could have a bilingual podcast.
You know, I've always been, after taking Spanish classes in school, I was pretty good at hearing and reading Spanish. But speaking, not so much.
I need immersion. That would be the pitch to the 12th floor. I need to be immersed into a second language, and I mean nobody's gonna miss me here. I might as well
That's
be on,
not true.
I might as well be on a warm beach doing the show every day.
Although
I could do this gig anyway. I mean I could. It's not required that I sit here, right?
Yes, but if you want to go to a place in Wisconsin, gonna be a lot more difficult and expensive.
But maybe we start doing shows on the road from Latin America.
Maybe, but
for some reason, I don't think that's going to pass.
I don't think so either.
People on the 12th floor, but it's a nice idea. It's a nice idea. Many thanks to Juan Garcia for being here. Like I said, Rapine's coming up here in hour number two as well. Oh, Casper said he'd miss me. So you and Casper, thank you. I appreciate that.
There's at least a few of us.
There's a couple of people. If I didn't show up, it would. All right, we appreciate. Well, I'm spitballing. All right, here. Speaking of spooky news, and I wish this were. It's kind of an awkward transition. This is not funny, and quite scary. And maybe we'll come back to it later. This is from Axios. Several top figures in the Trump administration have opted to live in military housing in the Washington, D.C. area instead of private homes due to safety fears. According to The Atlantic, in their new report. Why it matters is the result of the growing political polarization and violence toward politicians within our country, per The Atlantic. Now, I'm going to stop there, give you some an analysis. In other words, Todd's opinion. I find, and this is the way it's being spun to The Atlantic by the Trump administration, that it's become so polarized and threatening in D.C. that people like Kristi Noem and Stephen Miller and Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio are now having to move into Fort McNair, a military base. Now, I find this interesting only because Donald Trump's walking around saying Washington, D.C. has never been safer because he's militarized it. So if his militarization of D.C. is successful and it's the safest city in America, why are his top secretaries moving into military bases? I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole of speculation here. To put it bluntly, it don't add up. And I'm getting a little nervous, honestly, when you have non-military people in a presidential cabinet who are now moving on to military bases. It seems like a harbinger, a precursor that things could get a little scary. And folks are moving on to military bases for their own protection, not from protesters, but from what may, keyword, may be ahead in the future. Something to keep our eyes on, I think. Because I don't buy, I mean, The Atlantic reporting is fine. I just don't buy the reason from the Trump administration why these top officials are moving on to military bases.
Like you said, if they've got control of the situation, why would there be any danger unless they either don't have control, which is not the case because we already know crime was down, or they're planning something, potentially.
Potentially. And again, I don't want to be alarmist to too much of a degree, but that came across the wires kind of quietly last night, and I checked into it, found several sources, and yeah. As it turns, Kristi Noem now lives in the home meant for the Coast Guard Commandant. How's the Coast Guard Commandant feeling about that? That he got kicked out of his house on his own military base. So Kristi Noem, the good news is Kristi Noem did not bring a dog.
If she did, she wouldn't bring one back.
Good point. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll keep track of that. All right, come on back. A Wisconsin fun fact on the other side for Halloween. Also, a what's worse Halloween candy edition. And Peter Rapine in with the wild and wacky news headlines. It's the second hour of the Todd Allball Show, straight ahead with Aaron Summers on the board across Wisconsin on this Halloween on the Civic Media Radio Network.